We're doing Navi, we're up to the book of Shoftim. We had learned about Gideon. Gideon has led the Jews to war against the Midianites. When Gideon had his first great victory, killing 120,000 soldiers with his mere 300. They were outnumbered how many to one? 400 to one. He has 300 soldiers, and his 300 soldiers, for every soldier, there are 400 soldiers, okay? 120,000, yes? And we discussed his prophecy. Hashem told him how to do it. We discussed the tactic that they used. And now he is in pursuit of the remaining 15,000 soldiers. And en route, he goes to the people of Sukkot, the people of Penuel, and he asks them for food, and they refuse. They tell him, you haven't finished the war. Who says you're going to win? There are still two kings lurking, Zebach and Salmuna. And he says, when I'm coming back after victory, I will punish you. And he continues in pursuit of Zebach and Salmuna. They have camped, and he surprises them, a surprise attack. And he destroys their camp, and he conquers Zebach and Salmuna. He comes back from the war, and the sun hasn't yet set. The sun is still high in the sky. It's been a quick victory. And he captures one of the young men of Sukkot, and he has him write down the 77 elders of Sukkot. And he says, you guys cursed me. You guys are Jews. How could a Jew turn their back on their brethren? We were in the middle of a war. We asked you for food. How did you do that to me? You are the elders. You are responsible. And he takes them and he undresses the elders and drags them through the thorns of the desert. And then he goes to the city of Penuel, and the people fortify themselves in a castle, in a tower, and they're confident that in that tower he won't be able to touch them. He destroys the tower, they put up a fight, and he kills the people of Penuel. And then he asks the Zebach and Salmuna, he says, when you came to the city of Tavor, there were people there, where are they? And they say, we killed them. And he says, they were my brothers. If you wouldn't have killed them, I wouldn't kill you, but you killed them. And so he tells his eldest son, Yeter. Now remember, Gideon, when we encountered him, was helping his father. So it sounds like he's a young man. Here we see he already had a son who was out to war with him. So he tells his eldest son, kill them. And the child's scared. He sees these two big kings. He's scared to draw his sword. And Zebach and Salmuna say, look, you're a seasoned warrior. Why should we die a painful death? Your son won't know how to kill us easily. Why don't you kill us? And so Gideon gets up and he kills them. And because they were Arabs, so they had these shapes of moons on the necks of their camels. And here we see this concept that the Midianim are also called Yishme'elim. This is going to have relevance in next week's parsha. So even though Midian was one of the children of Keturah, one of the children of Hagar, but we see that all the children of Hagar are called Yishma'elim, what we call today Arabs. I said Arabs. Can't be Muslims. This is long before Ahmed ever lived. How could they be Muslims? Islam wasn't invented yet. Arabs. No, in the Tanakh, we see that all the Arabs are named after Yishmael. Here they were Midianites, and they are called Yishma'elim. So we see they're all called descendants of Yishmael. In next week's parsha, we will see that when Yosef is thrown into the pit, so one time it says that a band of Midianites came, and the later pasuk says a band of Yishma'elim came. So the question is, which one was it? So one opinion says, well, the Midianites sold him to the Yishmaelites, and the Yishmaelites sold him to the Egyptians. He was sold numerous times. Others say, no, the term Yishmaelim is an encompassing term for all these tribes that lived east of Israel. And here you see it in this story that the Midianites were called Yishmaelim. It says they all had figures of moons around the necks of their camels. They had these moon-shaped necklaces. And that's because they were Yishma'elim. Okay, so Gideon is told by the Jewish people you rule over us, your son, your grandson. You saved us from this awesome kingdom of the Midianites. And Gideon says, I won't, and my son won't. Hashem will rule over you. Tremendous Kiddush Hashem in his declaration. And then Gideon asked him, but I want to ask you for one favor. Every one of you has in their lute some nose rings, some of these half moons, these moon shapes, so the half circles. So give me those. That's what I want of you. So they spread out a blanket, and everyone throws in the moon shapes. And he ends up having a weight of 1,700 blocks of gold. A tremendous, tremendous number of moon shapes. And he forms them. He puts them all together to make out of them this whole long turban-like apron. It's this apron that goes round and round and round, this whole long apron. And the idea is, he wants the people forever to see the great miracle. They should see that you have in this apron put together, he's put together over 100,000 of these moon shapes. So they'll see how many soldiers there really were. We read this story, we hear they were outnumbered 400-1. We wonder what was going on here. So Gideon wanted a sign for future generations. They should come down and see. So he sets up a special place where everyone can come visit, like a museum, where you could come and see this long apron that was made out of over 100,000 rings, moon shapes. And what happens is that people start saying that Gideon made it with all kinds of powers. And people start worshiping this long apron. And that wasn't his intention. And his family, Gideon's own family, starts worshiping that apron. So we have peace in Israel. Gideon has 70 children. He has many wives. And he also has a concubine, a woman which he has a weaker connection with. There's no real ksuba between them, out in the city of Shechem. Gideon passes away. And when he dies, the Jews start sinning again. They start worshiping the Baal. And they forget the great miracles they've had. And we will see that they not only forget their creator, they forget Gideon, and they forget to show him any appreciation. So when Gideon dies, he has a son from the concubine in Shechem named Avimelech. And Avimelech tells his family, what do you guys have to risk? One of my brothers taking the throne. Why don't you appoint me as king? Because then you'll have a family member as king over you. You have 70 competitors here. Better you have one who, and remember, I'm your own family member. So his family, they put together money and they tell him, fine, you're our relative. And they give us, they give him 70 silver coins, and he hires some paid mercenaries. They go with him. He goes with them to his father's house and he murders all his brothers. He lines them up. He sets up one stone and hacks their head off one after another on one stone. One little brother, Yotam, remains, and the Jewish people are silent. No one stands up after the great miracle Gideon led them, and Gideon was so humble he wouldn't take the throne. No one says a word, and Avimelech is established as king in Shechem, and they make this big party in honor of Avimelech, celebrating he's the new king. And this is where we'll pick up next week.